Thank God for such a beautiful worship service. They sang that song, "I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb." I felt like standing. I need to stand on our precious word. We're in a war. We know there's a war going on for the souls of men. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Reading in verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. They prevailed not." Praise God. "Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." There's a war over the souls of men. I thought of a verse in John where it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life shall find it." Here it says, "They loved not their lives unto the death." Every day, Brother Daniel, Sister Christie, love not your life unto death. I think of time when that war raged over my soul. Of course, I didn't see it that way at that time. But it was there. Grew up a born in an Amish home here in the county. Had parents who were godly as far as they knew how to be. I loved life. The child, young boy, was taught right and wrong, good and evil. I was taught that day would come when I would join the church and be baptized. Then if I would be faithful in doing good to the end, I would then be saved. Read the Bible in our home. We had Bibles there. I read quite a bit of God's Word. I was sought for God in my youth. Nevertheless, that day came that I turned 16, was loosed, in a sense, to go out, go with the youth and into all kinds of sin. God in His mercy still was watching over me. I know He was. I'd like to this morning, if I could, just share my personal testimony of how God has worked in my life. I know many of you have probably heard that already, but most of you haven't. So I felt led of God to share that this morning. I trust that He will make it a blessing for you. I desire that He would get all the glory and the honor. Not of works, as any man should boast. In my youth, I did want to do what was right, but the company I was in was not the best. But I knew that that was not the answer. I knew that sin was not the way to go. Of course, I thought in my mind I was a pretty good fellow. I didn't know of God's standards of holiness, but I measured myself according to the others around me, and I thought I was pretty good. I wasn't quite as wicked as some, so I thought. One of my friends began to get married, and I kind of got left alone, it seemed, seeking for something to spice up my life. Life was kind of dull, you know. Didn't know the Lord. So I got involved in a volunteer fair company, which that made some excitement every once in a while. And I also got involved in the volunteer ambulance service there, close to where I worked. And through that and a series of events, I met my wife there. Actually, that's where I first seen her and began to recognize her, began to see her. And of course, she was not with our youth group, and I had no interest in her, so I thought, but my God was working differently there. One Sunday, one of my best friends told me about a girl he was trying to see, and she didn't want to see him. And at the Sunday or so later, he told me she's leaving the Amish church. I'd been baptized when I was 19, and was kind of surprised that there wasn't more to it. I was thought surely something should happen with all my sins, but of course it didn't. I was a member of the church, and I was very sincere. I was earnestly trying to do what was right. This young man came to me one Sunday, and he told me about this girl. She's leaving the Amish church, and I said, I know who that is. And I said, I think she'll be at our ambulance meeting on Monday night. Said, I'll try to talk to her into coming back to the Amish church. So after we had our ambulance meeting that night, and she was there, and I went to her afterward, and I started talking to her about her leaving the church. That was the ultimate sin, leaving the church. When you leave the church, you get put in a ban. And a ban was a fearful thing. It's cut off. So she heard my cry that night, and she listened, and she allowed me to talk to her, and actually took her home that night. She wouldn't get out of my buggy, just sat there and cried. I was of course trying to persuade her to come back to Gunner's church. And she was very mixed up at that time. Some of her family was already saved and had left the church years before, and had influenced her, and she'd heard some of the gospel. I didn't know how to bring her to Christ. I knew how to bring her back to Amish church, it seemed, but I didn't know how to bring her to Christ. The Lord knew all that. She decided to come back to Amish church, and we ended up getting married about 6 months later. God did bring us together. It was a real joy to our hearts, and God has given us a beautiful marriage. I can say that. My father bought a farm for us that fall, that winter. In the spring of 82, we moved on the farm there and began farming. That was my dream, a farm. Own a farm. Have a farm reaching my children someday. I was very zealous. That farmhouse was a doubled house. It was a what they call a dotty house on the other side where the grandpa would live. We'd bought the farm there, and so we moved in, and the other end of the house was empty. Normally we would have liked to have an Amish family move in there, so we would agree together, of course, in faith. But no one seemed to want to move in. One day I went back up to the store where my wife used to work there at Kaufman's Fruit Farm, and I mentioned something to Dave Kaufman there and said, "Hey," I said, "you don't know someone who's looking for a place to rent, do you?" I thought maybe they'd have some Mennonites who'd want to rent it. But we needed the rent money, and we were kind of desperate there to help pay for this expensive farm. No, he said he don't know of anyone. A couple days later, I learned Brother Mose was in there fixing a refrigerator, freezer. Just before Brother Mose walked out the door, he turns to this Dave Kaufman, the same man, and says, "Hey," he says, "you don't know a place to rent, do you? We got a family moving in that wants a place to rent." "Well, yeah," he said, "I do. It's down there in Red Ball Drive." Brother Mose, he comes in the driveway anyhow and wants to rent this property, this house. "Oh, we wanted renters," so he looked through it and handed me the check. Well, that was okay. I said, "Well, who's coming in?" "Well," he said, they're Christians, don't worry." He said, they're nice people." He said, "You'll like them for neighbors." When we found out their names were Denny Kennistons, somewhere from Tennessee, they're moving in on a certain day, and my parents happened to be there that day. My parents were a little fearful, especially when they found and pulled in their U-Haul truck loaded their furniture. We're in the kitchen window watching. It was over dinner time, I believe, or something. And Brother Denny crawls out of the driver's seat and his big blue baby overalls on, a long red beard, and, you know, wife was dressed in a full modest dress and had her head covered, and my mom had a fit. She told my dad, she said, "Dad, you go find out what they believe. We don't want them living here with Emmanuels. We don't want them to lead Emmanuels astray." She had very good concern, like a mother should have. Well, Dad, he's a little easygoing. He walks over there and greets this new family and shakes their hand and talks with them, and I think he was kind of impressed with them because they even got the rent down $25. Dad came back in the house, and I think Dad had asked them what they believe, and they said, "We believe in being born again. Our names are written in heaven." Well, Dad probably agreed with that. He came back in the house and told us that they believe they think they're saved. They actually believe that they can know they're saved. We were taught, you cannot know if you're saved or not. Our doctrine in our church said, you cannot know. No man can know if they're saved or not. That's where we were at. I remember my mom, she wanted my dad to give us, pay him back the rent money and ask him to leave. The war raging. Dad said, "I think they're going to be good neighbors. Let them. We'll try it." We found out soon that they were good neighbors. Best neighbors we had ever had, seen. Of course, I was very protective. I would not open my heart. This man is not going to lead me astray. Then we found out they're starting a church. And the church people were in and out, and they'd have singings out in the front yard, and we'd hear them preaching through the bedroom walls, and we were kind of sitting tight. I mentioned something to my dad one time, a year or so later, and I said, those are neighbors. They're godly people." "Well, Dad," I said, "they have something that we don't have. Dad agreed. He said, yeah, I said, you're right. You do. There's something different about them. I didn't know what that was. I remember the first time we were, of course, want to be neighborly, so we invited them for a dinner one day. I think it was around this time of the year. And they didn't have family to get together at this time of year, so we invited them over to our house. So they all came over and sat down to lunch there that day. And we just had a real good visit, and we'd got to know them pretty well. And my wife had been sick, expecting, and she didn't know much about raising children. And Jackie, she would come with some pills or some medicine and advice, and it was such a joy. My wife and Jackie got along really well. They were good friends. I was like this. But, they sat there on our table that day, and I remember so well Brother Denny, he shared his testimony, how they came, and, I was just a hippie, you know, and all that, and what God did in their lives, and how he got born again. And he looked at me and he said, well, so, Emmanuel, when did you get born again? Well, I could handle this pretty well, I thought, so I just told him, I said, I was baptized when I was 19, and I kind of grew into it since then. Well, he didn't push his point. It seemed like God gave him such grace, because he could have turned me off just like that. And that's where we as Christians need to be careful, that we don't turn people off. I remember later on one time they gave us a track called Witch Resurrection. There's a picture in the front. It's a nice picture about a religious man who ended up going to hell. It's an awesome track. My wife and I reread that track that night. It scared us. For the first time in our lives, first time in my life, I faced eternity. And I was afraid. But we went to sleep that night and just got it. Went on with our life. Don't forget, brothers and sisters, when you give tracts to people, pray for them. God would work in their lives. We ended up getting into some kind of embarrassing situations with our neighbors. He went out and preached in the local Minute Market to the Amish young boys there. He was soon known as that preacher that lives back there at Emmanuel. And they put some pressure on us and said, well, why don't you tell them to move? Well, I said, they're good neighbors. We don't want to tell them to move. So they went and put pressure on my dad. Why do you have those renters at your place? And, you know, he's preaching to our young people. And first year he went and baptized a couple Amish sisters. It was bad. He tried to convince him he did wrong. But he knew better. They lived there for 3 years. They left behind a testimony of Christ. Left behind a testimony of Christ and of the kingdom of God, of salvation, of strength, power of a godly life. After 3 years, they moved away. We went on with our life. We had two little girls at that time. Farming was going really well. My debts were being paid off. I had a wonderful wife. What more could a man want? And I think of that young man that came to Jesus and he said, what good thing must I do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. But he said, if you want to live eternally, he said, keep the commandments. The young man said, "Well, I've kept them all. I've kept all the commandments from my youth. What lack I yet? There's something missing yet. You know, I've done all these things, but there's still something missing." And that's what I felt like. There was something missing. After they moved away, I kind of let those guards down. I was more on a friendly chat than before. They came back to visit us. We actually went to their place for breakfast one morning and even had devotions with them, sitting around their living room. I sure hoped they wouldn't get us to kneel. They didn't want to kneel for some reason. He didn't. He said, "Well, we're going to pray here." So we just prayed in our seats. I was pretty comfortable with that. But you know, I left my guards down. About a year and a half later, one of our friends got converted in a neighboring Amish district. And someone told me that those people are leaving the church. Well, since I had experience in bringing people back to the Amish church, my wife, I thought I could go talk to them. So we went to visit this young family. They were a little bit younger than us. My wife knew his wife well. And Brother Aaron and Sister Lydia Ann. And decided to tell him he shouldn't leave the Amish church. Well, he said, "We're not leaving the Amish church." But he was all excited about something. He had a note paper. He had his Bible. He had a notebook full of scriptures. He was so excited about the Bible. So excited about Jesus. And I went away from that place shaking my head and thinking, "I don't understand. What happened to that man?" But it challenged me. I got a small pocket Bible and put it in my pocket. And every chance I had, I began to read that Bible. I was in the fall of 86. We were seeking God and we didn't know it then. But God again had mercy on us. On New Year's, we went back to that young family again and asked them more questions. And he shared his testimony with us, how he got saved. Then I told him about this family that lived with us. I said, they have a church in New Holland. He wanted to know their name, so I gave him the name. Found out later that after we left that day, that he went to the phone and called Billy Denny right away and said, "We want to come to your church." I didn't want him to go to that church. That's what happened. And about that time, God began to work in my life in a deep way. I felt under such conviction. I was such a miserable man. 2 weeks working in the fields. This was in March. I was out there harrowing, preparing for planting alfalfa, sowing alfalfa, and I was under such conviction. I could still see myself walking back and forth those fields all day long, loaded with sin and guilt. But I didn't know what was wrong. I tried praying. I didn't know how to pray. I tried crying out to God. I didn't know how to cry out to God. But there was such a deep agony in my soul. There was a war was raging over my soul. I didn't see it then like I do now. Finally, one evening, I broke down to my wife and I told her, I said, "I'm going to go to our bishop on Saturday night and confess my sins. Maybe that'll take care of this problem I have." And I really didn't know what was wrong, but I felt like I was such a sinner. She did what she'd done before. She got into a difficult place. She'd called Jackie. She went and called Jackie and told Jackie what I'd said. Well, Jackie convinced her that that won't help anything, that's not going to take away my sin and guilt. So she told me that that's what Jackie said, and I knew that that was true. I had seen men in the Amish church under the load of sin and guilt go to confession, and go through 6 weeks of excommunication and shunning and shaming, and come back to church and be taken up again as a member of the church with the same load of sin and guilt on their lives. I've seen that time and time again. And when my wife said that Jackie said it won't help anything, I knew in my heart it wouldn't help. That was probably around supper time. I was out working in the fields again that evening. So it was dark. I came back in the barn, was putting horses away, and I saw this car coming in the lane. Somehow I knew who it would be. Well, Dennis showed up there and very friendly and greeted me. And he was very upfront. He said, "Jackie said your wife called, and I just wondered if maybe I could come and share with you something." Well, I finished up touring and went in the house. And he opened up the gospel, opened up his Bible, brought the Word of God to us, got us on our knees, got us to confess our sins, some of them, surface ones, and prayed for us, prayed with us, led us in a prayer. Nothing happened. So he left, went home again. Must have been a day or so later, this other Amish family that started going to the charity of the church, they stopped in one day. I was at home. I walked out to their carriage kind of cautiously because I knew they'd left the church by now. And I didn't even invite them in. They just sat in their buggy and they talked a little bit and they said, "We were at those meetings, revival meetings." He said, "I never heard anyone preach like that before." He said, "You ought to come here and preach." In my heart, I desperately wanted to go, but I couldn't. I'm Amish. Can't go. It was a disappointing feeling. They left anyhow, and I think it was the next day at noon or so that Danny and Jackie came by again. They got my wife and I on our knees again. We confessed some more sins. I mean, these were really big sins now, you know. The stuff that's hidden down your heart. The stuff that has never been brought out, you know. The kind of things that you don't even want to talk about. You try to hide them. Those kind of sins begin to come out. I remember so well, Brother Denny, there beside me by the couch, I was praying, confessing my sins, and he said, "Lord, show Emmanuel he'd split hell wide open if he'd die tonight." And I thought, hell? Me? No. I'm Amish. Amish people are good people. Amish people go to heaven. And I just got done confessing some of the vilest sins. I don't understand how blind sinners can be. I was blind. I was blind. My wife's heart was wide open. She was receiving all those things. They gave us that track again, which resurrection track, when they went out the door. And they said, "Read in the book of John." Of course, we were searching and for the answer. We read that track again. It brought back those memories. It was so real. It was facing us with our sin and the reality of the consequences of sin. This man who died and immediately faced eternity, facing the judgment throne and being cast out, even though he had done all these good things in church, because he had never been born again. I turned to the Bible, opened up the book of John, and it opened up in John chapter 9. That's the story of the blind man. And God in His mercy revealed that chapter to me. He opened that chapter. And I saw, I am the blind man. I'm blind. And I read the rest of the chapter and I saw how how this blind man's eyes were open. And he could see. And then I saw the persecution that came. And I saw that I was going to, that was exactly where I was going to go. Somehow I knew that I was not saved. But I knew that. I ministered that chapter to my heart at that time. I think that must have been on a Friday. Saturdays, they were having meetings every night that week, and the power of God was falling upon this county here, and souls were getting saved, and people were getting right with God, and conviction had fallen on many people, and I was one of them. Thank God. They wondered if you can bring the evangelist out Saturday morning. Well, said, yeah, I guess. I was kind of nonchalant. Saturday morning came around and I was out in the field plowing. Just, you know, out from the house, like right out here, just plowing the field, and they came in the lane and kind of waited until I got to the end and turned my horses around and left the horses set there, and I came back to the house and said hello to them and went inside, and we began to hear again the Word of God laid out and things like Colossians was laid out, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, and how that we can be translated from one kingdom into another kingdom. The kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he drew this thing on the board, you know, two circles on the board. You have a kingdom over here, and we have a kingdom over here, and we're here in the dark kingdom now, and over here is the kingdom of light. And we have to get from this one to this one. And I mean, it was a good illustration, but I didn't know how to get there. I wanted to. You know, when you draw this cross here, that's the way to get there. But I didn't know how to get there. They tried their best to show us repentance and faith in Christ. And I so badly wanted that. But I didn't know how to get that. We got on our knees to pray again. I checked the horses, you know. They're getting kind of restless. It took about an hour, 2 hours. Brother Denny was with the evangelist, and he said, I'll go take care of the horses. You pray. He saw I needed to be, you know, I don't need to worry about them now. So we got on our knees, and we started to pray. And he came running in the door and said, the horses are running away. And they were. They were right out through the field. The plow was in the ground, making a big circle, coming back toward the barn. I ran up out there and managed to jump in behind them there. And I caught the reins and I managed to get them stopped in the midst of my much trembling. Now I was shook up. What is happening? The war was raging. The war was raging over my soul. My hands shook so much I could hardly tie the horses. And I knew, I thought I knew, God doesn't want me to pray with these men. These men are of the world. We're Amish. And I don't want these men to pray with me anymore. I got back in the house, and the evangelist, he was so excited. He said, the devil was out there with his pitchfork that time. Now, I thought it was God. He thought it was the devil. And I was confused. The war was raging. We got on our knees and prayed, and they lost me. I was not on the hook anymore. I prayed a prayer and said, I'm saved now. And zip, out the door they went. Just like that. I could still see them. They went out so fast. But I wanted them out there. I was done, I thought. That was on a Saturday. A very rough day for us, Rick and I. We didn't know what was right. We didn't know what was truth anymore. You see, we're being faced with our whole system of religion. Either these people in the Bible are right, or our whole system of religion is wrong. And that's a difficult place to face. But I want to say that if you're in religion today, and you're seeking Christ, you have to lay down your religion before you come to Christ. Not me, Lord, I'm Amish. Amish go to heaven. Went to the Amish church the next day, and our neighbors, and I told my wife, I know they're going to be preaching about out of Romans 6 and John chapter 3 this week, this day, and I'm going to listen very closely about the new birth. What is it about the new birth? But our church was very stirred up at that time because this other family had just left the Amish church about the new birth. He had been very bold and outspoken. And so the preachers didn't preach about the new birth. Well, they had to read the scriptures, but they wouldn't comment on them. And I was sitting at the edge of my seat trying to gather any kind of information I could get about the new birth. You see, I still trusted my religion. I still trusted my ministry. Only one of the deacons, in one of the last words he said before church was over, that he said this. New birth is like this, he said. Like the wind. You hear the noise of it. You can't see where it comes from. You can't see where it goes. And so is a man that is born of the Spirit of God. You can't know if you're saved or not.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 3 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Sunday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.